You're listening to MTL. More to Life is the Christian Union St. George's School, Harpenden, and our vision is to make God's presence known to this generation.
Alright, well, I'm pretty tired. I've just spent 6 hours over 2 different days working non-stop on graphic art. So I'm covered in paint and just exhausted generally. But it's alright. I think it's going to be okay. Anyway, my talk's on the difference between religion and following Jesus. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus was walking through a field of ripe grain. His disciples were pulling off heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands to get rid of the chaff, and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you doing that, breaking a Sabbath rule?" But Jesus stood up for them. "Have you never read what David and those with him did when they were hungry? How he entered the sanctuary and ate fresh bread off the altar, bread that no one but priests were allowed to eat. He also handed it out to his companions." Then he said, "The Son of Man is no slave to the Sabbath. He's in charge." What Jesus is talking about here is religion. The Pharisees in the day were like the religious leaders. And basically, they kept a tight control on everyone. They said, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to keep to all these rules. Because in the Old Testament of the Bible, God has set out all these things that the Israelites had to do to make them holy, make them his people. The trouble was, the Pharisees were following these rules so much, they just narrowed it down to really pointless things. Like they were saying, when the disciples ate the grain on Sunday, basically, they were saying, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that on a Sunday because that's not holy. But Jesus is saying, you know, wait a minute, what are you doing? You're focusing so much on the rules that you're not focusing on me anymore. You're not. And really, this is what I want to talk about today because it upset Jesus a lot. In fact, in Matthew, he really cusses down these Pharisees. He spends a whole page calling them snakes and calling them frauds. And you're kind of like, whoa, Jesus, that's not very nice. But he obviously really didn't like these guys who were turning a relationship with God into something that's just all about following rules. Right, what I want us to do now is, can people move? And I want to like create an aisle in the middle, kind of like straight up. So if like equal people can move to the sides. Go on. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine that this side of the room is birth. We're born into the world here. Then over here, this side of the room is death. So, I've gone from dearth. Dearth? That's a good one. Death to dearth. Right. This bag is each of us. This bag is us, okay? What goes into it is what's our life. And actually, that's kind of true, because in here right now, I've got all my school stuff. So that shows, you know, all the years of school I've been in. And it's got my writing, because I'm quite into writing and stuff. So it's got all that. But I want each of you to think that this bag is kind of what you contain. So you're born into the world, and you've got your life, but there's something else that must go into it. It's, imagine this lunchbox. And unfortunately, each one of us is born with this sin in our life. It's our nature to want to do wrong things, to want to do things that don't please God. It's, you know, lying, cheating, being unkind to people. But it basically screws everything up. And unfortunately, this is part of our nature. This is part of who we are. And if you think about it, we do often want our own way. We want what's best for us and not for other people. In the Bible, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And the trouble is, this sin cuts us off from God. Because God's so holy, so pure, he can't let any sin into his sight. So it cuts us off from having a relationship with God. This relationship is something we were created to have. We must have this relationship with God to be the full human beings God intended us to be. But, like I said, this sin is cutting us off, and it's in, you know, we're born with it. So we need to think what we're going to do about it. What are we going to do about this sin that we're born with? You know, how are we going to deal with it? Because we can see down the road, death is at the end. I'm thinking, my goodness, what's going to happen to me after I die? What's this sin going to do? I'm not going to stay cut off from God forever. So you think, well, it makes sense, doesn't it? That if you've got a sinful nature, if you're bad, you want to make yourself good, right? You know, if you make yourself good, that's going to make you acceptable to God. So you can try this. You set off down the road. You think, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to say all the right words and stuff. Because if you do that, you know, God will probably be pleased with you. So you put church in the bag and you carry on going. Being kind, you think, oh no, I'll be nice to people because that's a good thing to do. Then I'll be good enough. I'll be good enough to know God. Put that in the bag. Carry on. Then you've got praying. You think, if I pray to God, if I say the right words, then surely that will connect me back to Him. Carry on again. And then you've got charity. You think, you know, I'll give a lot of money to charity. That's a good thing to do. That'll make me good enough. So it's all good. All good. You get to death. You're dead. You get to God and you say, look at all this stuff. I'm a good person, right? I'm a good person. I've done so many good things. And God takes each bit out. You find that the sin is still there. Sin is still in the bottom of the bag. It's in your life. It's still part of us. It's still something that makes us want to do wrong things. In fact, you know, all this stuff you can do to try and make yourself good enough, you know, it doesn't work because the sin is still part of us. And in fact, by thinking that we can make ourselves good enough to get to heaven, by thinking that, actually, you know, that's almost being proud that we think we can be good enough, we can make ourselves good enough people, and, you know, being proud of sin, so it's a bit of a mess, you know, a bit of a circular thing. So, not good. What can we do? How on earth can we deal with this sin if everything we do to try and make ourselves better just makes things worse? Well, the answer is we can't do anything about it, but Jesus can. This is the key thing about Christianity. We can't do anything about the sin, but Jesus can. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for his sin. He was cut off from God, his own Father, for, you know, quite a long time. And that was just agony. He took this punishment. You probably know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And, you know, you hear that verse so much, but in there is the answer. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, you know, not whoever goes to church or is nice to people, whoever believes in Jesus. That is the key thing. But why do so few people do this? Why do so few people think, you know, well, it's simple. I don't need to struggle so hard to be so good, trying to make myself good. Why don't I just trust in Jesus? Well, the thing is, if you want to believe in Jesus, if you want his forgiveness, it takes humility. It takes admitting, actually, I'm wrong. I am sinful, and I can't do it on my own. And I need your help. And the truth is, many people, me included, don't like to admit we're wrong. We don't like to say, actually, we've done wrong things. But that's what it takes. It takes repentance. It takes telling God that you're sorry for all the things you've done. And you need his help because you can't do it on your own. So simple. So simple. You don't, the thing is, it's not worrying about whether you're good enough. I think many people struggle with that. We think, I'm never good enough. Be connected to God. I'm never good enough. God's never pleased with me. I've got to do all these things if I make myself good enough. But the thing is, a relationship with Jesus, it's not based on how good you are. It's based on, it's not based on anything. It's just based on his love for you. It's completely free. That is the glorious thing about it. It's called grace. That God loves you so much, he's going to give this forgiveness. He's going to take this sin and throw it away. A dramatic way like that. He's going to take this in and throw it away. You know, for nothing. We have done nothing to deserve it. Think of the thief on the cross, yeah? When Jesus was dying, there's this thief who's killed people probably and done all kinds of horrible things. All the thief says is, just remember me. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't, you know, try and be nice to people. He's probably been horrible to people and killed people. But he just says, Jesus, remember me. And that's all it takes. all it takes for God to take a sin away, throw it away, and the thief is forgiven. It's incredible. And then what happens? When this sin is gone, a fantastic thing happens. The way is clear. The sin is no longer in your life. So now you can know God. You're not cut off from him. You can talk to him, and he's speaking into your life. So you go back, and you want to go to church, not to do a good thing, not to try and make God like you more, because you know, actually, God couldn't like you anymore. He loves you so much, it could never go down. You're going to church because you want to worship God. You want to meet with him, because you know him. You give to charity, because you know Jesus' heart for the lost. You know Jesus' love, and you want to share that love with all the people who need it. You pray, because in prayer, you're connecting to Jesus. You're connecting to this guy who saved you, and you want to know him more. And you're kind to people, because you know Jesus' love. You want to pass that love on to other people. This is the thing. Guys, all these activities and stuff are brilliant if they're centered around Jesus. They must be centered around him dying for us and come out of a relationship with him. And it can never, ever be about trying to make yourself good enough. So, really, it's religion, you know, religion or Jesus. And I know which one I'd rather have. It's religion, you're striving. You're constantly trying to make yourself better. You're always trying to say the right things. But with Jesus, you know he loves you so much that there's nothing you could do to make him love you any more or less. And you can just be in that love and you can be guided by him. Jesus himself says this: "Are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to have a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That's what it's about. It's not about constantly struggling. It's about knowing Jesus and trusting in him. And the thing is, many people don't know this. I mean, you know, you might not know this at all, but actually a relationship with Jesus is a free gift. It's not dependent on what we do or what we don't do. And so many people don't know this. In this school, so many people don't know that they need Jesus. It's not, they don't need religion. They don't need to say the right words or anything. They just need to repent, ask Jesus' forgiveness, and trust in him.
You've been listening to the More to Life podcast.
And I'm still waiting for you to be the one I'm waiting for.